I want to get
Oh.
more of a better psychological profile of what a lot of these mobsters are kind of like, because I think they
Okay.
probably tend to have the same type of personality disorder. We'll just put it like that. I think they're all
Okay.
sociopaths personally, but that's just my
Own
own.
opinion. You think they're what?
I think they're all sociopaths, just
Huh.
like most CEOs.
Well, CEOs for sure. I didn't get a sociopathic vibe. Like, and I don't think it's, I think because of the nature of what the mob is not, it's not, it's CEOs is a specific, it's not, CEOs don't come up because family connection, right? So you can't just like say everybody in the mob is a sociopath because it's you're in a family connection and you often don't have a choice. Some people do rise to the top, sure, but CEOs, I specifically think, yes, are sociopath because of what it, not all of them, but
Well, yeah, that's what we say.
there's
Not
a
all
high
of them, but there's a
percentage.
lot of them that you are,
Yeah,
yeah.
but I think it's different. It's different in the mob world for the reason that it's just cultural. It's cult something's culturally taught. So it's not like a somebody's born with some sort of penchant for crime. It's a cultural thing that came out of a necessity. It came out
So it's
of
violence begets violence, basically.
you're taught violence,
and
so that's how you act towards the
yes.
world. So
Well,
it's more nature versus nurture.
yeah, and I don't think it's ta teaching violence so much. It's just it's a necessity. It was a necessity for certain people who were back in the day, came from immigrant culture who didn't have a lot have protection from police or have money or a leg up that really formed bonds between like, out of necessity, out of sheer need to survive in what this country was, especially back then. So let me backtrack. So I had been watching Sopranos, and it had recently ended. I have to start with that. And I was and there was a gaping hole in my life because because everybody and who nobody liked the ending, let's be honest. And
Don't tell me because I've never seen it.
well, it wasn't popular. And I mean, nothing was going to be popular because everybody wanted it to continue. And who obviously all the fans. But so it just so happened that I was in a supermarket in Los Angeles, and I had been dressed up for something in the middle of the day. So it was like oddly, weirdly dressed in like a black gown. And I was like in the Bengay aisle. I don't know what I was getting, but I was like, the medicinal aisle for something. And this older dude, he just sort of looks up to me. He's like, "Well, that's quite the fancy outfit for the supermarket at noon." And then I was like, "Oh yeah, I have a thing." Blah blah blah, and sort of brushed him off. And he goes, "Oh well. Yeah, are you Italian? You look Italian or something." And I was like, "Oh, part, I've got some, sure." And he's like, "Oh, I thought so. I thought so." I'm like, "Cool. You live around here?" Like, just that kind of shooting the shit conversation. And he's an older man. My mom told me to be nice to older people when I was like, okay. And I was in my 20s at the time. And he's like, "I just moved into the neighborhood. I don't know very many people here." And I was like, "Oh, cool. Where are you from?" And "Oh, I'm from New York." And "Oh, cool. And what do you do?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm actually dressed up for an interview because I'm an actor." And he's like, "Oh, I acted once." And I said, "Oh, okay, cool. Good for you, buddy. If you act once, usually I think like you probably did a bit part in something or you were in your school play. I mean, it doesn't sound like a profession, so." And he's like, "Yeah, I was in a movie." And I'm like, "Oh, cool." Thinking probably didn't have any lines. And then he's like, "I couldn't keep going with it though. I couldn't memorize all those lines. How many lines do you have?" And he's like, "Oh, I was the lead of the film." And I was like, "Huh, okay." Like, someone made a film about you. And then I'm thinking, "Ah, it's probably some, what is, cousin pulled out a video camera and they made something in their garage. I don't know." And he's like, "Yeah, you can look it up online. It's this and this. It was made, And then he started naming some names that I was like, Oh, it sounds like a real film. This guy's full of shit. How do you do one film? One, like, and be the lead of it, and you're like 80 something. I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. So he's like, I'll tell you about it sometime. We should get together. And I was like, okay. Well, he's like, well, I don't know anybody. I got a lot of friends, and you said you're Italian. Like, I'm very slightly Italian, but he's like, do you speak Italian? I'm like, oh yeah, well, I tried to practice once. And he's like, well, come over, we'll practice Italian. I'm like, okay, okay. Like, how fine, sure. And I gave him my number, I don't know. And he's like, we have barbecues sometimes at my house. I have some family here, you'll come. I'm like, okay, sounds good. I leave. And so he ran some errands, went home, and of course, like, it's something. Something else he said. He said something else I didn't pick up on at the time. I was like, well, where are you from? He's like, well, originally from New York, but then I've been away for a while, and then now I'm here. And I'm like, what in the w-? Like, it just did not dawn on me, the being away for a while thing. And I was like, cool, okay. I thought maybe he was living in South America. I don't know what away was. So I, went home, and my then boyfriend. I Googled it. So we were at the. Oh,
I
so I
think
go
he
home.
called you or something.
So no, we exchanged numbers. I went home, and of course, it stuck with me. Like, who is this guy? So I, like, what is this film? Is he full of shit or what? So I Google it, and sure enough, he was not full of shit. Everything he said was true, and he'd done a film. Where he starred in it, and it was about like kind of a mob life. So he was just starring in kind of as himself, but it was a fake story. But he was just being himself, and so he was a lead of a big film. It was backed by some pretty big people, and that's when I realized who he was. And he was a head of a he was a cop of a crime family, and he'd just recently been released from pretty intense high security prison for many years, most of his life. He had like one other outing, and then he was back in at some point. And
Did
the
he
only
say
reason he was
why he
out,
was incarcerated?
it blamed it on Giuliani just kind of not liking him. No, there wasn't a specific thing, but it's written up like in the, it was. Most of these, I actually don't remember what the charge was, because most of that kind of mob charges, as you know, is not, it's always like racketeering or money laundering or something like kind of peripheral. But he was gone for a long time, and he was released because of he had cancer, like. And so it was like a end of life kind of.
Compassionate release.
Anyway, I immediately was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be like, I'm not, I'm, but of course, I had just finished Sopranos, and I was like, oh, I'm so interested and intrigued in a weird way. But so I, and my ex at the time, his, my boyfriend at the time, my ex, sorry, his brother in law enforcement is a probation officer. And when I mentioned it to my ex, he's like, oh, let me just run it by my brother. And let's just see like what those charges were and stuff. And by the way, this was a little while ago, so Google wasn't as the information wasn't as readily accessible as it is now. So I didn't have all the information that you'd probably be able to get now. And so he ran the name, and it literally came up on my brother's my ex's brother's computer as like whatever he said, it looks like he's never seen before. It was just like red marks
Oh
that were
shit.
like, no, cross, no, don't deal, run away. So he was like, he calls me immediately. He's like, lose the number, don't ever talk to this person again. This is not your friend. It scared the shit out of me. I was like, okay. So then he calls, and I pick up, and also I didn't want to lose the number. I have work and things like that. I'm like, I'm gonna change my number and run away from some guy who's like, what is, I'm still a little, I'm like, maybe I'm naive or something, like, but he calls, and then he's like, yeah, I want to invite you to the barbecue, blah blah blah. And I go, hey man, I just wanted to let you know that I'm just not I'm not comfortable with like hanging. I'm sorry. And I have a boyfriend. I also kind of like I'm getting a vibe of who you are, which is all good, but I just am not I'm not down to
Wow,
hang.
that's
And he
kind of
goes, okay.
ballsy.
And he goes, no, it's fine. He's like, okay, cool, man, that's fine. He's like, no harm. I'm like, cool. He's like, but let me know if you ever want to hang, if you change your mind, if you ever need anything, I'm here. It was nice meeting you. I'm like, okay, cool. Look like. So he did say like it's okay to check in and we check in on you every now and then or something. I'm like, sure, I guess. He's like, okay. Bye. And I'm like, bye. Like, I think that went well. I'm also a pretty direct person. I don't know how to be around the bush. And so I think I tried and then I was like, no, I'm just gonna tell him that. Tell him like I Googled him. And so he did check in on me like once, like get a call, I pick up. I'm like, hey, what's up? Hey, how are you doing? Fine, fine. Okay, well, it's just also, he'd say, like, I'm having a pizza party. You want to come? I know. Thanks for asking. Okay, bye. 2 months went by or something. And I was at Comic Con. I was with two friends of mine who drove me down there, and then they both like got stuck in traffic on the way back and were late to something, and they couldn't drive me home. And I told them, and it was like crucial, they were going to work or something. And I'm like, just drop me off at a Starbucks, I'll find my way home. And this is before we had Uber, right? And there's no cabs in LA, but I figured I'd some way I get home. So they dropped me off at a Starbucks in an area that I don't live close to, but I just decided to grab a coffee and sit for a while and wait until my then boyfriend was off work or come pick me up or something. I'd be fine, figure it out. And I get like about an hour in, I am sort of getting a little bored, and this guy calls, and I looked at him. I'm like, oh, I'm like, well, hey, what's up? How are you? He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, yeah, I'm just having a coffee by myself. And he's like, why? I'm like, because I was in the car with two friends. I never mind. And he's like, well, why don't I come pick you up? And I was like, well, why would you? He's like, I got nothing to do. And he's like, I'm an old man. What do I got to do? I got nothing to do. He's like playing his wife down, you know. I'm like, oh, where are you? It's like, over here. It was like 5 minutes away. And I was like, well, I guess you're kind of close by. Sure. Why don't you come pick me up? I'll take a ride. And so he picks me up, and it's like a baller car, right? It's like a Phantom or something. I forget. No, it wasn't Phantom. It was just a really nice car. And I get it, and he's like, do you mind if we make a stop before we go take you home? I'm like, sure, I'll run errands with you. What are we doing? And he's like, it's my friend's like restaurant opening in, and I just need to pop by and say congratulations for opening his new restaurant. I'm like, I'm not really dressed for that. He's like, ah, you look fine. So we go to this big premiere, like one of those things of his best friend who was a billionaire.
Oh, nice.
Pretty famous dude. And I walk in, and it's pretty big to do, And there's like red carpet and stuff like that. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in jeans and a tank top. I'm like, oh hi, yep. And then like I'm set as they see me at the table with the billionaire who's opening this restaurant and a bunch of like Hollywood agents, which I thought was really funny. And this other woman sitting next to me. And then my friend, and I start chatting up with the lady next to me, and we hit it off just fine. Actually, got along really well, and I had a few drinks, laughing. After like 2 hours, like, oh well, I gotta go back, but we should like exchange numbers and like tell. I feel like I should call this guy something else, like David. I'm gonna call him David. Tell David that we did give him, give me your number, and like I feel like we could do business together. I'm like, business, all right, sure. And then the billionaire got up. He's like, oh, I'm gonna take I'll take you to the car. You can use my plane like to get home. I'm like, oh God, these fancy people. And so I guess she was gonna go home to where she lives, and I was like, oh, these people are really nice. And I turned to my friend, let's call him David. David, and David's like, wow, you and she got along really well. And I said, yeah, apparently we're like, she's got some plans for us to do business. And so without revealing that name either, it turns out that she's like kind of the world's most famous madame.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, man.
I was like, oh, I don't know what kind of business she had in mind, but I don't think I'll be following up. So I sort of chuckled at that because these are all like, it's funny when you're like in a, like sitting around a bunch of people of names that you feel like you've heard of and that you know and that are sort of like they're people with juicy lives and juicy stories. So it felt like I was in the Sopranos. Like I got what I wanted. I was like living this
Yeah.
fun like juicy life for a second. Anyway, we had a nice time and he took me home and I think my I feel like my yeah, I don't know if I withheld that information from my ex or not. I forget. Anyway, so that kind of like broke the ice with the relationship, and then I just started hanging out with him because I was like, well, he seemed cool, and he'd invite me out, and we'd hang with his family and his grandson. His grandson was sweet, and sometimes I'd watch his grandson, and just it's fine. We'd go out to dinner and take him out to dinner with my brother, and we're sort of like hung out and just talked about stories. And yes, I did want to know, but like more about his life because I wanted to dig in, and we'd get to have some frank conversations, though he would not be cl never say anything very clearly about, like, I wouldn't be like, how many people you kill or something like that. Like I would never ask some
I would
disrespectful
have.
thing. Like, well, it I just I wasn't it was more, it's not about that, and it's not about a number, and I don't even know if he has or hasn't whatever he's done. I won't say that I know anything. However, I would say I did point blank just ask him. I say, hey, if we're gonna hang out, I don't need you to do me any favors. I don't want to be a part of whatever you do. I'm just here as a peripheral friend,
Was
and
he
you need to
still
promise me.
in with the crime family?
I don't think you ever get out. I mean, I don't know how you,
But I mean,
I don't know how you,
actively involved, like he would have
I don't
been.
know. I don't know. I think that the position that he had was still the position, but it's not, you don't have a badge, you don't wear a name tag. I don't think it
You're
goes
thinking
away.
it's like higher up type.
The top, the
Okay.
highest.
Okay. So there's no getting
So
out then, yeah, until you die.
yeah, but I don't know, there wasn't any, I don't think mom's pretty like dormant. I don't think there was any action happening. Like, I don't think there was any stuff going on that he was in charge of, let's say. Like, it's just, it was a past thing. People was still connected, or families, so it's still family is family. It's like, that's like saying, is your grandfather not still your grandfather? Like, it still is who he is. And so I was just like, I just need to know, like, I'm not, I it's not, you seem fine and everything, but I need to know that, like, I'm not asking for anything. I'm gonna be safe in the situation. Anybody I know is safe. Like, I don't, we're not exchanging anything. No favors here. Just want to be clear. And he's like, he's chuckled. He's like, yeah, that's fine with me. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna take, that's your word. I'm gonna take your word for it. I think you're a person of your word, right? And he's like, yeah, I am. I'm like, good. All right, so we're clear. And then as we and it was always respectful. And we'd have conversations sort of more in the hypothetical, like, because he didn't ever want to say something, and I didn't want to, like I said, I was also being respectful back. I wasn't there. I wanted him to feel like we were friends because he was some sort of like, doing a, because he was entertainment either. So I was trying to not make him feel that way. I felt like he was an old dude who had lived a life, and there, and I started asking him, stuff about regrets, and he did. I don't think he lived in regret. And what I remember some pretty impactful conversations about just him saying, I don't think, it's been glorified in the movies and everything, this life and these and who the the Italian family. I don't even remember what he'd call it, but I don't think he said mafia or mob at all. I doubt it. But we talked about like when he went away and why and the things that led up to that in that kind of vague way. And he'd say, you know, at the time there was no law enforcement that was protecting us and our families. There wasn't. And we had to protect ourselves the same way you do. You're what you just said. I'm protected in my house. No one can come in because I got all. They felt that way. They armed themselves and they protected themselves. The streets were really rough. And they had to, and then people would try and come in and knew, you know, and it was very culturally based in those days because there were so many different immigrant groups, and immigrant groups kind of like had to.
You said this was in New York, right? Do you know about time frame wise, like when he was, I guess, predominantly active?
Well, you know, he was 80 when I was my late 20s. So that was 20. He's always since that late 70s, maybe. He's passed now, passed away now. So if he was like in his 90s, he passed away of COVID.
Oh, wow.
During COVID, yeah, he was really old. He lived a long life. So he didn't end up dying of the cancer that he got up for. But he, so 90s, I mean, like, yeah, we're talking like, we're talking like
40s?
the 40s? Wow. 40s,
Interesting.
50s?
Okay.
Yeah. Right? I think so. Let me do, let me think about math right now. Hold on. If you were, I mean, just Google. Hold on. So, no, active in the 50s, 60s.
Okay.
50s, 60s, more like 60s, yeah.
Oh, so no chance he ran into Capone then. What a bummer.
I don't know. But he was just it you know, really described a different life of like it was like a war. He felt like more of a soldier in a war. And so I don't when you say like people in the mob or mafia are like sociopaths, I'm like that would say that would be like saying soldiers are sociopaths. People when you go to, for instance, right now, if you are you know, in Afghanistan or something, or if you're like fighting and you have to protect your family and from whatever other force or other people that are coming, I don't think it's sociopathic. I think there's some people that are in even these Al Qaeda situations that are just having to survive. And it was really clear that that's how he felt about it.
So yeah, but I mean, when you talk about mobs and the crime families and everything, I mean, look at a guy like Al Capone. I mean, he killed people just because they disagreed with what he was doing. That's
Well,
not being a soldier.
no, that is not. However, that does happen in the military, but to some degree when power gets to people's heads,
Well,
you know,
yeah, no,
power
I'm not disagreeing
corrupts.
with that. Yeah.
In any scenario, power corrupts, and there are people who have a more penchant for that who can rise to the top and like we're talking about with CEOs. So yeah, I mean, and there can be some exceptions, and I think it's a notorious exception. But I and might have been justified, and it's just it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope when you start to justify what you do of how then you protect your family and what you, the things and choices you need to make to continue to protect and protect and protect. And I it's a slippery slope that I think more people might fall victim to. It's like watching Ozark. I love that show for that reason. It is. It's like you like or Breaking Bad or any of that. It's putting an everyday person. We like to think that that person is other and that you would never do that or you would think better or you'd have a heart. But when you're put in a bind and when every when it's high stakes and you keep making one choice after another that you start to have to, you know, try to get yourself out of before you know it, you are in that world and you are having to make other the choices that you would never have thought you would have made. And if you do that for generation and generation, you're going to end up with, you know, a mafia of sorts. That's how it happens. And then you don't even see it. Then you're born into it and you just stay as the soldier protecting the things and the culture that you know to be the law. And
And
that's
this
all
is who your friend was.
that's who he felt he was. That's what he felt to. I'm just, I'm not, I, and I'm just listening. I'm not passing judgment. I don't know the details. This is who, this is his explanation.
Did he ever give you, I mean, I know you said you didn't really go into specifics and you never asked, but did he give you any details of things that he felt like he had no choice but to do that? Some, like, someone like you and me would be like, what the fuck?
Hypothetically, you know? Hypothetically, because everything was hypothetical. Hypothetically, if you had to kill somebody, like, what, how do you not have regret for that? What I would hypothetically ask. If somebody like you would have had to do that, it was always very, like, I never, there was never any admitting, because also, he doesn't know, I could be wearing a wire for all he fucking knows. And he'd say, hypothetically, you know, if anything like that were to happen in, you know, especially back in the day, it would be to protect. It would always be because there was a threat.
But he never felt remorse for actions like that.
He would just say in the same way. I mean, I think maybe there's something there. But in the same way that it is justified, it as a soldier would feel remorse. Like, it sucks that it has to happen, but this was a war. It was a war on the streets.
And that's something that isn't as clearly depicted, because it sort of just makes everybody look out to be just sort of these badasses that are, like, you know, taking over.
You don't hear this side of mob mentality and crime families and things like that. You hear things based on the questions that I've asked you already, because this is what the public knows about. Okay, well, you know, one crime family fucks over another, so let's just have them knocked off and be, you know, go have a beer afterwards.
I don't, it's not that nonchalant. It's not. I thought Sopranos did a nice job in it. I didn't feel it was so flippant and nonchalant in that. I felt like it really brought a heart to it, to somebody in that position to try and struggle with. You know, he's going to a shrink in the series and really trying to discuss right and wrong. And I thought that was really interesting, because we only know what we're taught. I mean, the world exists to my child the way I have presented it to her. And you really understand that when you're a parent, you're like, oh my God, I can say anything to her, because I am the one who's explaining this construct of what this life is. And so if you're raising that after generation and generation, I mean, how are you supposed to see it any other way? And you are told that what you're supposed to do is, like, serve and protect family, and that's how he slept at night, and that's how everybody else who might have been involved in things like that would sleep, according to kind of what he explained. And I got it. I really understood it. And I don't say that that means he's the perfect human. I just think that I think it helps us understand that I don't know how different any of us would be in his position, what different choices we would make. Very few people break from their culture, and very few, most people stick pretty close to what they're taught. And he was legit, like, I didn't see him in any active, like, there weren't calls made or something. But I mean, all of this fun stuff about being, like, in like mobby kind of vibe was happening. Like, we never had to pay anywhere we went, and we were always around fancy people, and there was always a private room available, and, like, that kind of stuff was like the part that is fun.
You saw the glamour of it.
The glamour, yeah. But he'd also lived the majority of his life behind bars and had paid a huge price for that, and he wasn't actively doing anything anymore. This was like, he was went away when he was younger and, like, had a whole other experience, and he was making, he was, like, super interested in, like, film and TV and art and cooking and other things. Like, he just wanted to live like a guy, like, at this point, like, have some bit of life left at the end. And that's what was endearing about it. That's why I kept, like, kind of talking to him, like, you know, what is redemption? It's funny, because my husband's first babysitter ever was Creepy Carpus, who was he was on the most wanted list or something.
Rico Carpus.
He was like a, at some point had been on FBI's Most Wanted or something like that. And he was now like my husband's babysitter because his dad was a school teacher and like was had met him somehow and was really hard up for childcare at some point. And
God.
he was an older dude and he had had a life and he'd done his time and he wasn't doing it anymore. Like he had some tales like there. And that kind of forgiveness and you know, as long as the person isn't a sociopath, I mean, that's the definition of like, if the person is still like, well, I mean, I've also, you know, oh God, I got stories. I've also spent a weekend with Trump too,
Oh my
who
God, why?
I think I never told you that.
No,
Who also
he
to
is a
me now, I
sociopath.
didn't. Yeah, I mean, I think there might be something else going on there. I think it's like a little. He's and his personality was way charming as well. I flew in his private plane and
Ew.
stayed in a hotel. We double dated him like for that weekend. He and Melania and me and the guy I was dating at the time. And I like didn't find him at all like disturbing. He was just sort of like a garrulous, funny dude and super sober. Didn't it wasn't lascivious. Didn't make any passes on me. But when I see his behavior kind of in the public, I think, okay, that's a person who lacks like any empathy. Like I do think that there's some lack of oxytocin there. I didn't feel that way with David. I'm calling him David. I didn't feel that way. I felt like he had a good sense of empathy, he had a good sense of care. He was very caring. And it came and he was emotional, like he could get teary. Like he so it was not it's not sociopathic. And I think maybe whatever he told me about his like I was a soldier and we were these were tough times that he really meant he really believed it, and maybe there were times that those you know demons would come up in the middle of the night for them. I know I have demons that come up in the middle of the night for me, and I've not done anything remotely like anything in that realm. So I imagine people do wake up in the middle of the night and wonder you know what they've done and. I'm sure he says he, you know, like any other soldier, like I had to do what I had to do, you know, kind of thing.
It's a very different viewpoint from everything that I think the media has portrayed mobsters to be.
I mean, I think as what I do in being in the arts, like I study the human condition. I really like to get to the bottom of who somebody is. Underneath, I think Trump is just a is an entertainer. I think he really thrives to entertain, and that is the source of everything he does. It comes from a need to be the class clown, and to have that attention, and that's where he comes from. He doesn't understand the harm in it, doesn't see it, and he I mean I I feel like you know with Trump. Sorry to be off topic, but like that. I met him and had that time with him before he did the Apprentice, and he was like not really in the spotlight. He was kind of desperate to get back in the spotlight, and then you know he worked out doing that show. He was kind of at a low point
Then before the show, and then when he did the show, the world applauded him for being awful to people and being like, "You're fired," and whatever. And every time he did that, everyone was like, "Yes, we want more, we want more." So like, what happened? Like, we made. Because he wasn't as bad when I met him as he is now. I mean, he probably had it in him, obviously, but he wasn't being applauded for being like this. And over the years, I think that show really did it to him. I think like, and so we also are responsible as a society of like how we allow people to, what we cultivate in the people that we exalt and we put on pedestals. And that's our fault. Society made, he's a star, Stay Puft Marshmallows, Marshmallow Man. Society made Trump. We all thought it and it became. And it, similarly to, I feel that this kind of mob, whatever, it came out of the conditions of he was made sure in his family and culture, but the culture and the conditions of what society was at the time. We are responsible for this. And you see everybody like that. When you see everybody, I just anything that people are disturbed, obviously, even with these school shootings and everything else. I mean, we are responsible for creating this culture right now.
And so I don't look at people, I don't look at him and say, shame you for what you did. I look at him as a person of society who was put in that position and who lived that life and paid a big price for it. And I kind of take responsibility as part of society and also for being somebody who watches Sopranos and all this other stuff and like kind of applauded it on, right? Like we're and glorify it. Like I'm just as guilty of being like, yeah, be that boss for me, you know? And so we had some great talks. It was a long time ago, and I kind of promised in those conversations not to discuss them in detail and also to kind of forget them. I kind of processed them, and I didn't, in any details that were given, I didn't take with me as I do for anybody who speaks to me candidly. And I like to be an ear for people, and not, out their dirty laundry. So, sorry, I can't go into any more specifics like about
Well, it's a different perspective, from firsthand experience. So it's something that I think will be interesting to hear.
cool. And I'll have to say, like, from then on, he would just periodically, at some point, I told him that we weren't going to hang out anymore because I was starting a life with a new person, and it just didn't fit into, not, we weren't romantic in any way, but I also didn't want him to start thinking that it could be. And so I said, I think we should probably not hang out so much. And it's been lovely. And then he said again, just, there was no anger to it or anything, and just said, well, can I check in on you every now and then? I said, of course you can. And so he would just call every now and then, and we'd chat for a second, and after that. And then unfortunately, he died. And a lot of people in that world that he knew also kind of passed away. It was sort of a changing of the guard, an old generation dying out. And so that whole crew did, and anybody I knew in that sort of passed. And it was and I feel sad for his family and sad for the circumstances, everything. So sorry if you encounter
That's all right. I've
and never and only was a good person to me. Only was sweet, kind, caring, empathetic, and his family too.